In Deathland 71, Ritual Chill, amidst the howling winds of Alaska's frozen tundra, Dr. Theophilus Tanner finally went mad.
I am Joseph Jordan, prophet, seer, and you will hear me.
Which brought Ryan Cotter and his companions to the brink of destruction.
Dark Knight, Ryan, we gotta get out of here!
Having narrowly escaped the chaos, they now find themselves caught between a war of two vills and face an enemy with strange and mysterious powers.
Christy, don't look into his eyes.
Gaia! Oh, oh.
And amongst it all stands Doc, stewing in his own madness.
The only reality I can trust is that which unfolds before me.
Betrayal looms in the air.
You
see too much. Time for your eyes to be dimmed.
Will Doc's madness send him plummeting over the edge? Will his insanity take the companions with him? And will he finally betray the friends who have saved his life too many times to count?
Just bide your time, Theophilus. Just bide your time.
Deathland 72, Atlantis Reprise, holds the answers. Jack held up a hand to halt his party.
Someone's found the local wildlife.
Ryan, sound like Sig.
Hope they get past the obstruction in one piece.
Get chilled now. Maybe should look for Owen instead of listening to them.
You lead the way. You've got a better eye for these paths than I.
Jack was leading them past the beasts, and his sense of imminent danger meant that they had so far avoided three traps. One was set in the wall and was triggered by a raised step in the floor. It was only slightly raised, just enough for the impact of a foot to trigger an air release that shot razor-sharp darts across the width of the passage, from ankle level to the roof. Jack saw it as a raised bump and triggered it with a pebble that he tossed with practiced ease after staying them with a gesture. The raised step was on a hair trigger to allow for even the slightest chance contact from whoever may pass, and the darts shot across from concealed holes with a hiss of air pressure, striking the far wall before clattering to the floor. The second had been a pit trap, like the one that had almost claimed JB's life. Jack couldn't have told the others how he knew it was there, only that there was something inside him that screamed for him to stop. Flattening to his belly, he had crawled ahead, testing the ground in front of him with an outstretched arm, until he had reached a point where the ground had been softer, more malleable beneath his fingertips. Further probing had left the layer of topsoil, suspended on a flimsy film of material, giving way beneath his probing, triggering a reaction that led to the whole surface of the passage floor falling in for 6 feet in front of him. Mark, Lemire, and Cyan had peered into the abyss, the flashlight lighting the sharpened stakes pointing up to them, the remains of less fortunate travelers scattered on the pit floor.
Twice we would have perished were it not for you.
The albino youth said nothing to Lemire, but Mark pondered on how fortunate they had been when Ryan had assigned Jack to them. Twice the albino had made him understand why. It was important that the Memphis leader and his wife be kept as safe as possible. The sec chief doubted that any of the other strangers would be able to ensure this as well as Jack Lauren. And the third time bore this out. The flashlight beam showed that they were about to reach a T-junction in the labyrinth when Jack pulled them up short.
What? There's no room for anything this close to the end of the passage, surely?
Uh-huh. Good job uniting lead.
Barely visible on the stone-pitted dead earth was a wire, covered with dirt, but just raised enough to catch his trained and better-adjusted eye. He edged toward the wire and extended the toe of his boot. It was something he didn't particularly wish to do, but there was little other option. He had to trigger the trap somehow, and it was pointless to wish for something long with which to prod at the wire when there was nothing to hand. As he felt the tension on the wire give at his gentle pressure, he tried to work out what kind of trap it could be. As Lemire had said, they were close to the end of a passage, and he had noticed that all the other traps came near the center of slabs, rather than the end. It made sense. The closer to an end, the greater the chance of the slab splitting when the trap was put in place. So what would this be, and how would it work? It seemed to take an eternity for the wire to give, but when it did, the result was instantaneous. A blade swung from the ceiling, swooping down in an arc that would have cut through the skull of anyone who was in its path. It was scimitar-shaped and just as sharp. As it hit the wall slab, bouncing back, it left a deep mark in the stone.
Above, below, and from each side. Is there nowhere that can be counted as safe?
Don't think anything safe. Stay alive longer.
Jack examined the blade. He looked up at the ceiling. It had been concealed in a groove covered with earth to look like mold. The wire had been secured in the earth and run around the end of the slab at the junction so that it would not show on the wall. Jack felt the blade, admiring its honed edge, and wondered if he could somehow detach it. If he could, there was no doubt that it would be useful.
They're coming!
Cyan bolted around the corner.
Come back!
Lemire started to give his wife chase. He was stayed by the hand of Mark.
No! If we go, we go together.
Jack joined them and followed her with a flashlight. What the hell was she doing? She had been incredibly calm and collected so far. This didn't make sense.